Welcome back to Growing in His Word. God bless you. Last week we talked about the stone. Jesus is the stone. He is the rock and the foundation of our faith and the author of life and finisher of life. He loves us. He wants to know us. And listen, believers, if you're out there, God is in love with, yep, you. Welcome to Growing in His Word. God bless you guys, man. Last week was a radical message, man. We're going to continue in Matthew, and look, if you ever got an invitation to a wedding, well, you're in luck. I get invitations all the time to weddings, parties, birthdays, anniversaries, and, you know, there's nothing like a real beautiful wedding. And this week, we're going to talk about the wedding feast and how Jesus has sent two invitations out to his wedding. Matthew 22 talks about the marriage and the feast. And it's important because this chapter is every week this is my favorite chapter, but I really think this is my favorite chapter. Okay, it's one of my favorite chapters. Why? Because Jesus is inviting non-believers to his wedding feast, his heavenly preparation. This parable is about his feast. It's a celebration when non-believers and believers come to Christ. Last week we talked about a lot of stuff, but this week I want to tell you, man, let's pray. Father, we come before you, Holy Spirit, Lord. This is the key, actually. Holy Spirit, we ask that you lead this study, this time. Lord, we want you to take this study, Father, and use it for your glory. May I decrease while you increase, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, this is where the Holy Spirit is actually deep in this Bible. Because a lot of believers, and I talked about it earlier, before we get on to this chapter, I'll read it. A lot of these believers, a lot of us believers and non-believers, not me, but some believers and non-believers, they don't realize how important it is when they come to Christ that they realize that they accept Jesus, but they're accepting also the Holy Spirit. And John 14 tells us about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit helps us, teaches us, loves us, and guides us in through so many different obstacles in our life. But most importantly, the Holy Spirit teaches us and shows us and reveals all the obstacles in life that we can get through if we're being led by the Holy Spirit. That's the key, folks. Being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that even at work, in your workplace, it's hard to be led by the Holy Spirit when your coworker wants to go out and party all the time and he's telling you nasty things. But we got to continue to be steadfast and stay in the Word of God. Look, Jesus is sending out these invitations and he's saying, look, quit playing around. Get ready for me. Get ready for my awesome marriage. Here we are in Matthew chapter 22, and Jesus, in verse 1, says, Jesus answered and spoke to them, again, by parables, and said in verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. Now, God is talking about the king. Here is the king is God. Now, listen. Remember that. A certain king, you mean God, who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. And verse 4 says, again he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, you know, see how I've prepared my dinner. And my oxen, fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Now here we are, God's preparing the way, and he says, come to the wedding. Verse 5, But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm and another to his business. He's saying things are ready. The dinner's ready. The oxen are fatted, cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it. They made light of it, see? And they went their ways. One to his own farm and another to his business. And the rest seized his servants. Listen. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their cities. And verse 8 says, then he said to his servant, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. Okay? So those servants went out in the highway and gathered together all who they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now listen to this. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come here? And Hebrew friend is Havar. Without a wedding garment. You know, how'd you get in without one? And he was speechless. Then the king and the servants bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Wow. Amazing. Number one, Christ's righteousness is awesome, and we're supposed to put it on. That's the garment. We cannot do it on our own. We need a Savior. God sent His only Son to die for us. And here we see the invitation twice, and we see how God is sending out us, believers, to get out there and serve one another. And not only serve one another, but to love one another. And so often we think about how important other things are, and we forget about the goodness and the love and the mercy that Jesus Christ has for us. We tend to take for granted wanting to know our Lord and Savior. And when we receive our Lord and Savior, we tend to forget how important it is to prepare for His coming. And my question is, as a follower of Christ, are we prepared? You might think to yourself, oh, well, I don't want to be one of those guys that get killed by God. That's what I got in this message. God's going to murder me and destroy me if I don't come to the wedding. No. He's saying go to the byways and the highways, believers, and invite the non-believers. Get them in the church. Get them in the sermons. Get them into Christ. Get them in there and talk to them about the love that Jesus Christ has for one another. God wants our attention. He loves us. He made us for a reason. And you say, oh, well, I don't know. I can't hear from Him. I can't see Him. I don't know what He's asking for me in my own life. Look, read God's word and pray. God will direct your path. He will show you what He wants you to do. And as believers, we got to be ready for that, to listen to His calling. This is a reflection that the ministry of John the Baptist was talking about, and they made light of it. They didn't care about it. They were so preoccupied with the things in life that they didn't want to stop and give Christ the glory. They're so busy. Oh, the world wants us to stay busy. But God says, stop it. Get out the video games and make time for me. And here we see the burning of the city is referring to the destruction of Jerusalem. That was when Titus was there, and this is the actual parallel to that. And so Christ is saying, get rid of the things in your own life that prevent you from coming to me. Like, get the stuff away from you. The things that lead you away from God. Clean it. Get it out. Stop it. Come to me, know me, and grow with me. That's what he's saying, believers. But so many of us get caught up. We don't realize that life is short. And that God can, we could be taken out in a twinkling of an eye. Whether it be a car accident, whatever it may be, we got to be ready. God's saying, here's your invitation. Come know me. I want to love you. I want to know you, and I want to love you. And I want to treat you like my own. It's, you know, the Pharisees, they wanted to destroy Jesus. They wanted to destroy everything that he built. They wanted to take what Christ gave and destroy it. They wanted to destroy everything that the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so these are the vagabonds in the Bible, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we see them today in the church. We see them through different levels, especially the ones who try to rob other people's callings. God's saying, look, I'm the king here. And so this guy, he comes up, man, you know, and he says in verse 12, so he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? Now the garment represents righteousness, Christ's righteousness. Ours are of filthy rags, the Bible says. And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Look, man, many are called, but few are chosen. God is saying, look, stop it. Stop playing your game, man. When you received Jesus Christ, it was no joke. Look it. I was talking to a guy the other day, and a lot of believers, they think, you know what, if I just believe in Jesus, I'm going to heaven. No, you're wrong. But John 3:16. No, you're wrong. We don't cram Jesus down throats. We let the Holy Spirit soften the heart and the mind, and then he does the work. Listen, here we go. This is going to get hot up like a hot chili pepper. You guys ready? When I received Jesus, it wasn't about me. It was about him in me. It was about him completing the work that he started in us. Okay? All of us. Then you have believers. There's two different types of believers. You have one believer that thinks he's saved, but he bears no fruit. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Then you have the other believer who's saved, and he basically does all the right things, says all the right things, because he's got the fruit of the Spirit in him. He's wearing the garment. He has the Lord's garment on. Then you have the other believer who shows up to the party, to the wedding, and he doesn't have the garment. Because when he was doing an altar call, and the pastor was saying, who wants to accept Jesus? Oh, me. They really didn't realize what they were getting themselves into. They didn't understand on counting the cost. What it means to count the cost for the gospel. They didn't do their homework. Well, I'm just going to show up here now, and I'm getting in now, ain't I? So they go around town, and they walk around thinking they're saved. They're busybodies. They're in the church business. They're always there to point the finger. They're connivers. They want to increase. They want to increase, and they want God to decrease. Those are the ones who really don't have the Holy Spirit in them. I know it's kind of weird, but even Satan believed that Jesus was and is the Messiah, but he wouldn't receive him, remember? So he shows up to the wedding, this guest, and he doesn't have the garment. And Jesus, and they're like, bro, what's this all about? You ain't got, you're defiling God. It's his righteousness, not ours. And we see it. The man basically ignored the obligation placed on him when he accepted the kingdom's, when he accepted the king's gracious invitation to the feast. He was supposed to wear clean clothes to come to the wedding banquet, but he was unprepared and saw in his regular clothing. So he insulted the wedding. You see? Christ graciously provided his righteousness through his death. And so this guy refused to put it on. He refused Christ's sacrifice and believing that somehow, you know, I don't need to wear it, this garment. But God gives it to us in Ephesians chapter 4, 24 and Colossians 3, 10. But because the man was unprepared, the king declared him unworthy. His refusal resulted in the man being sent out of the banquet hall. And so we can see that today in the churches. Some of them, not all of them. You're not ready. Jesus is saying, be ready. How do I do it? Well, when you receive Jesus, you say, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, I receive you. And I want to follow you. I want to turn from my sins. I don't want to live a habitual sinful life anymore. I don't want to practice business in the churches. I don't want to drive people through their own whatever. I don't want the drama. Jesus is saying, I want you to rest in me and let me do the work. Let my Holy Spirit work in you. This is the key. How do I do that? It's by being obedient. It's by making yourself obedient. We have so many times we'd rather drink beer and smoke cigarettes. We'd rather, oh, stop judging me. No, we'd rather play video games all day or watch movies or being entertained. Entertain me, entertain me. It's an entertainment society. I had a friend of mine years ago. I don't know if he's my friend, but acquaintance. He wanted to go to movies all the time. He wanted to go out to dinner all the time. He wanted to go to barbecues, eat the county fairs, Disneylands, Magic Mountains, you know, all these entertainment places. Entertain me. Slip and slide places where you get in the pool and you just cool down and all you can eat buffet bars. Concerts. But the moment you threw on worship music, he would turn into the devil. But he was saved. Oh, he was saved. This is the garments. God's saying, I don't want those garments. Get out of here. I don't need those type of garments. I love you. Have my real garment. There are fake believers out there. They're not really saved. They think they're saved, but they're not. And it's okay if you don't agree with me. You'll know them by the fruit that they bear. Bad fruit can't bear good fruit. They're contrary to one another. So when we receive Jesus, we receive the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the King. And we get ready. We got to be ready, man, because God's not messing around here. But no, he's not going to send armies to come kill you if you don't want them. That's not God's style, man. God's not out to kill anybody. He's a lover. He loves us. Yes, he's just. But he's saying, come, come to my feast. Come, heaven is, this is like the kingdom of heaven. Look, come. Come. I want you to come to me, all you who thirst and are weary. But make no mistake about it. He will send us. He don't send us to hell. We send ourselves by not choosing the only begotten Son, for by his righteousness, not ours. Okay, it's about his righteousness, not ours. His righteousness in us, we decrease, he increases. People send themselves to hell by not choosing the only begotten Son, Jesus. I don't want to hear that. What, weeping and gnashing of the teeth. He loves us. He gives us so much grace and mercy to get it right. But we need to repent. If we're sinning against God, we need to repent. And he says, I'm just and able to forgive you. Then the Pharisees in verse 15 went out and they plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard this person of men. Listen to this. Tell us, verse 17. Therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Here they go. They're going to try to trip up Jesus again. Well, first of all, they were Herodians. They were outside the Gospels. See, they were judging from their name, and they were supporters of the Herodian dynasty. And that dynasty was in with the Roman government, and they were trying to trip him up to see if they would pay taxes to Caesar, because that's the law. When Rome took over, they took over. And you'd have to pay taxes to Caesar. Well, Jesus already knew because he's God. He knew that they were upset. He knew about the Pharisees. He knew that the Pharisees were always trying to go at it with them. He already knew that they were off. But when Jesus perceived their wickedness, he said, well, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Straight out, show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius, and he said to them, whose image is this inscription? Who is this? And they got coins today with the same stuff. And verse 21 says, they said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are of God. And verse 22 says, and when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. They couldn't trap him, man. These Sadducees and Pharisees couldn't trap Jesus. And it's the same thing with us believers. You can't trap Jesus. He's too smart. He knows our thoughts. Just like the wedding, these Pharisees, they wanted to try to trip up Jesus. And they, you know, they don't want to wear the garments. They want to be hypocrites. Believers, time is so short. One day you're 20, the next day you're 30, the next day you're 40. You're thinking, what does that have to do with this sermon? And, well, you know, a lot, because you take the coin that with Caesar's face on it today, I have one, and you can see the coin is still around. All those people are dead. It's been 2,000 something years. They're gone. And that coin is still here. And what does the coin say? Oh, the coin. All those people touched that. Imagine how many people touched that coin. Or what they did with the coins. Or where the money went with that coin. What'd they buy with it? What'd they do with it? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but yet loses his soul? Where are those people today? We don't know. We don't know. You know where you're at today? Well, that's judgmental. No, man, no, it's not. I'm not leaving no coin, bro. I'm leaving these sermons. Get on the horse, the white horse. Jesus Christ is in love with you. He's saying, jump on, get on board. Don't be left behind. Don't be one of those coins that you see that are rusted up. Get on. Jesus Christ wants to have a relationship with you. He's saying, let's go. Let's do this. Trust in me. He's saying, don't worry about the Sadducees. Don't worry about the hypocrites and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They're going to bog you down. They're modern day Pharisees today. They're here among us. There are some of our family members, friends, so-called. They don't have the garments on. They didn't show up to the wedding with the garments. They showed up to the wedding empty-handed. And Jesus is saying, Don't be empty-handed. Don't set yourself up for a failure. Life is too short. Don't waste your time on foolish disputes and dumb arguments. And you go ahead and do what you got to do, man. Jesus is saying, I love you. I will forgive you. But stop it. You want to get right? Get right. I'll forgive you. How can you? I did so much to miss so many people. No, Jesus said, my blood is sufficient enough. You mean that? Yeah. You can start fresh right now. Well, I've killed somebody. I've done this. Who cares? You know how many offenders reach out to me in prisons? They love Jesus. They're going to heaven.
Oh, how can you say that? They're bad gangbangers.
Who cares? They received Jesus. They're going to heaven. All is forgiven. There's no gangbanging in God's eyes. It's done. When you receive Jesus Christ, you're done. You're a new, clean person. Wow, amazing. Really? Yeah, really. Well, I was a bad news reporter. Yeah, he'll forgive you too. Quit writing bad stories. I was this, I was that. Good, he'll forgive you. But repent and don't do it anymore. And if you fall, God will forgive you again, but not habitually. It's the fruit. It's the Holy Spirit. Remember in the beginning of this sermon, it's the Holy Spirit that does the work in us. Jesus saves us. It's his characteristic called the Holy Spirit that helps us. When Jesus left in the book of Acts, he said, I'm leaving now. And they said, where are you going, Jesus? Jesus said, you'll never know the time or the day when I come back. Only, not even the angels know. Only God knows. Only God. But he's coming the same way that he came back. Remember, he went up, he's coming down. And he's saying, are you with me? Are you ready to throw that nasty lifestyle away, whatever that lifestyle you're leaving? Whatever it is, are you ready to throw it away and come to me? And Jesus is saying, come to me. Women, women, marry me. Men, enter a relationship with me. Jesus is saying, I'm here for you. I love you. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to grow you, and I will show you things you've never seen before. But are you willing to say, I'm done with it. I'm tired of it. Help me, Lord Jesus. I need a Savior. I want to be born again, and I want to believe in you and accept you. I want to receive you in my heart and take you in my life, Jesus. I want to know you, please. If you're saying this right now, if you want to pray that prayer, you're gone. You're going. You're a new person. Listen, Jesus showed up. He's sending the invitations out, and he's sending it now. Here's the invitation. Receive him. Say yes, but I'm a believer already. Well, Jesus is saying you did it wrong in the beginning. What do you mean I did it wrong? Have you received him? Have you believed the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ died for you? And have you received him, accepted him in your heart? And are you living for Jesus? Are you living a fruitful lifestyle for Jesus? If you can't answer that, then you need to say yes right now. I want that. Say it right now. Lord Jesus, here's the invitation. I come before you, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. I want to receive you. I already believe. Now I want to receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. I want to grow with you, Lord Jesus. I want to repent for my sins, and I don't want to go to that lifestyle anymore. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm here. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've done that, you've won. You're a winner. Now, keep listening to these sermons. Get plugged in. Verse by verse, on this website, on my website, growinginhisword.com, you can go to growinginhisword.com. You could go on and hit those little three bars up there, and you'll find Bible study material. Father, we come before you now, and we thank you for the non-believers who received you right now. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love. And now we ask that you protect them from the enemy so the devil don't try to steal their joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I'm excited. God loves you guys, man. And I want to say this. Never forget that Jesus has a plan for you. And life is never too late to receive him. It's never too late to be forgiven.